This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner here alongside Dave Tindall and Mike Grenham to look ahead to the Africa Open and the WGC Cadillac Championship, the first WGC event this season. A warm welcome first of all to Mr. Tindall. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Just about surviving.
Yeah, that home, that counselling home for guys who've had 150 to one winner go off at touch 1-8 and not won.
Yes. Yeah, but yeah.
How are you coping, Dave?
Are you going to introduce me?
I was just about to introduce you, Mr. Grenham. Good to have you back on the podcast.
Yeah, a couple of weeks off, but I see that, as Dave has alluded to already, you hit the crossbar, as you say, with Daniel Berger yesterday. Monday, that was. Obviously, it's Tuesday here in the UK now, but yeah, Padraig came and won for the first time in God knows how long to do your betting.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking, really, because in the middle of the 18th fairway, Padraig needs to get up and down and just to force the playoff and holds a 20-footer. And then I saw someone tweet that he was waiting for Florida to stand still in that second playoff hole because he took that long over the tee shot, then hit it to 5 feet. But Harrington's a guy that's always, Dave, tinkered with his swing. But there's no doubting his resilience, and it was good to see him win. If I hadn't been on Berger, I would have been delighted to see Harrington back in the Wizard
Enclosure. So you weren't delighted?
No, I wasn't delighted. I wasn't delighted. I wanted Daniel Berger to win that championship, but it's difficult to begrudge Harrington the victory.
Yeah, it was super. Well, to be honest, I thought his days were not. I thought he was sort of a David Duval. He was gone, and I thought even this was a David Duval style moment for him. He might just have a little flicker and moment in the sun again without actually winning, but he won.
Yes, he did. Yes.
So who knows what?
Who knows
what's
ahead?
Holds.
Yeah, he seemed pretty confident after the tournament. He's back to his best. He's hit. You know, he seemed very geared up for it. I thought we'll see. It's just hard to call, isn't it?
There's,
I don't think any of us are going to be saying he's going to be contending in majors. But then at the same time, it wouldn't be a shock if he did.
That idea that he said, once he gets in contention, it kind of comes back to him.
That's what he was saying.
It's interesting.
That was interesting. He actually said, I know that if I can get in contention, I can win.
It's like the harder bit is.
And he meant it, whereas a lot of players don't mean it.
Yeah.
Superb performance from Harrington. In the European Tour event, Andy Sullivan continued his progress with a win in the Joburg Open. That was a good performance, and he's favourite once again in Africa. We've got the African Open first up. Andy Sullivan 9-1 favourite here with William Hill. George Kotsaire is 14-1. Jaco van Zyl is 14-1. Byung Yun Ahn is 16s. Darren Fickart is 20s. Richard Sterney 20-1. Gregory Bourdais is 22s. Garth Mulroy 25-1, and it's 33s and bigger the rest. This is the third of the four South African events on the 2015 European Tour schedule, and this is an event that's been dominated, Mike, by the South Africans since its inception back in 2008. All seven winners of the event are South Africans. It is worth noting, though, that the event didn't become co-sanctioned until 2010, and East London Golf Club is the host venue this week. It's a bit of a pushover for the players in reality.
Yeah.
Measures just 6,616 yards, which by modern-day standards is a pitch and putt for a lot of these players.
Yeah, everything you say there is true, Dave. Some good winners since the 2010 kind of changeover, as you say, the co-sanctioned. Svartzel and Oosthuizen have both won it. Dan Fickart and Aiken, they're not bad players, are they? They're decent South Africans, to be fair. But you'd have to say it does look like they've got the they've got the edge this week, even though Sullivan is a very short favourite at 9-1.
He is indeed. And driving distance, Dave, not necessarily a factor around here. I looked at this event and I thought it was more prudent to look at players that drive the ball accurately. And hot putter's got to be crucial here.
Yeah, I think I read a quote from Jaco van Zyl who just said, this is not a bomber's course.
Yeah.
As you can probably guess, Kai. I think the rough's not particularly. I think it's been really dry, so the rust's not really that much of a factor. So, but again, I don't think just booming it anywhere is going to... I think you have to sort of plot your way, don't you? Because, you know, you have to hit it to the certain lengths to go in with the right clubs and stuff. It's a course that I think 27 under won one year. That is just daft, isn't it, really? But, hot putter, that certainly sounds like a good way to go for me in this event because, you could be mid-20s again winning this, couldn't you?
Those two par fives as well, they offer really genuine eagle chances. So you're looking at a player that's going to shoot lights out around this golf course. Just the one pick for me. Dave, how many have you got?
One.
None.
Mike Grennan, one and none.
No, I had two players I looked at. I very much thought about Richard Stirney, who I think is the best player in the field, probably at his best, and Garth Mulroy was on my mind, but neither of them strong enough.
Mulroy was 50s last week in a similar field. Yeah. So it's
good course for me, hasn't he, I think? Yeah. They were the two that caught my eye, but neither of them were strong enough to make me want to back them at this moment. Mm.
You lead off then, Dave, here.
Yeah, I did look at Van Zyl, but because he's had five top fives on the spin here, but 14-1, nah, he's not won a co-sanctioned event, so couldn't really be going in at that price. Arne, obviously we both put him up last week.
Finished seventh in the end, didn't he? Which was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, and that was
that's a bit harsh, isn't it? Seventh's disappointing
in terms of a betting.
But Jack Nicklaus.
we thought he would win, though, didn't we?
We did.
I think he was 25s, was he, last week? And he'd played that course before. He's 16s on a course he's seen for the first time.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a surprise, would it, if he won? But again, they're onto him, aren't they, really?
So. He's got the potential to be, Mike was saying there, Richard Stirney, probably the best player in the field at his best. Byung-Yun Ahn has the potential to be the best player, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to get cut to the chase, though, that he asked me for a tip and I just waffled on about the ones I'm not going to tip.
Could be a long podcast. Yeah.
Oh, who else shall I roll out? So I'm going to put up an 80-1 chance. Jaakko Aalers. He's a guy who's kind of been bubbling under for a few years. Played in the Open one year. Just noticed last week he was tied 18th in Joburg, which doesn't seem much, but you look at his previous form at Joburg, it was just a string of missed cuts. They're always a good little thing, isn't it, when they suddenly do well on a course where they've got no form. Halfway, I think it was a midpoint two or three years ago, he was second at halfway in this event, so he can clearly play this course. He won on the Sunshine Tour at the back end of last year, the Cape Town Open in November. So he's got recent experience of winning.
Yeah.
I just think those little things, you sort of piece them all together, sort of plays the course well, did well on a course where he'd struggled last year, recent win. I think 80s is fair enough because
sporting bet.
Yeah, he's been classed as kind of middle to poor South African at that price. But I think he might be a little bit better than that. I think he's sort of coming on strong a little bit. So I thought it was a fair price in an event where I can see little value elsewhere.
Yeah, I reckon Andy Sullivan could go, and he could go close again. He's won two of the last three South African events. I've gone for Englishman Oliver Fisher as my only selection here at 40-1. I'll play him a point each way. He's got a decent record around East London, obviously, with that close call last year where he was beaten in the playoff by Thomas Akin. That was a really good performance. He kind of needs to step up to realise that potential, because when he first arrived on the scene, everyone was talking about him, weren't they, Oliver Fisher? And he's not quite realised that potential yet. Despite a win in the Czech Open back in 2011, strong start to the season from Fisher with the 12th in Abu Dhabi, followed by the tie for 10th in Qatar. Subsequently, went on and missed the cut at Dubai, but that's a golf course he's never played well. And then finished 60th in Malaysia, again at a venue where he's never really capitalised on the opportunity. So I've kind of disregarded those two performances, because that fits with the bet. But 40-1, I thought, was 40-1. Reverse engineering. That's the correct phrase to use. But I thought 40s was fair, decent price for a guy that has got a lot of potential. His quality.
How old is he now? I mean, he looks about 12 still.
He must be late 20s now.
Sometimes you get a bit fooled by that, don't you think? Oh, a young player, and he's not.
No, he's not that young anymore. He's not that young anymore because when he first came on the scene, everyone was thinking this guy is going to he's going to produce. He's still only 26, 27 years old.
Fair enough. Still got a bit of time.
Still a bit of time. So 40-1, Oliver Fisher, my bet. You mentioned Richard Sterney came close for you. Who was the other?
Garth Mulroy. As Richard Sterney would have been a lot closer than Garth Mulroy, to be fair. Sterney's a player I like. Got a couple of top 20s here. In fact, was sixth here 3 years ago. Played well, I think, in the Doral event that's up against this last year, didn't he? Wasn't it? Doral, he played pretty well last year on WGC. So he's just a quality player, Sterney. I like him. So I could see him going well in this event, it has to be said. Hasn't been in magnificent form of late, but this isn't a stellar field, as we often say, is it? This is bang average.
One more I was going to just mention was David Howell, because obviously he went close last week.
Yeah.
But he did well enough to get a place in the Open, which was he was talking about afterwards. It was top three, got into the Open, because there was four of them tied second, because he had the higher world ranking. He got the spot.
Yeah.
And surprising, it'll be his first Open at St Andrews, so he was particularly thrilled about that. Mm. And if you factor in the fact that it's a putting contest, well, Howell can really putt, can't he? Can really roll his rock. So 40-1 straight away afterwards, you know, having just proven he can almost beat this quality field, 40-1, not too bad.
Not a bad price.
Yeah, those Englishmen that we've mentioned, and David Horsey was
hit into the water
late
on, didn't he? I think. Yeah. Did it go in the water?
Yeah, went in the water. Yeah.
Okay, so those two selections there for the Africa Open. Dave going with Jaco Ahlers at 80-1, and I'm going with Oliver Fisher at 40-1. Let's move on to the main event then, the WGC Cadillac Championship, the first WGC event this season, and Rory McIlroy is the 11-2 favourite here with William Hill. Bubba Watson is 12-1, Jason Day is 16s, Jordan Spieth is 16-1, Dustin Johnson 20s, Patrick Reed is 20-1, Adam Scott is 22s, Phil Mickelson 22s, and it's 28-1 and bigger the remainder. And Trump National Doral is the host venue once again for this championship. The course, Dave, had become pretty easy for the players in the mid to late noughties prior to Donald Trump purchasing the venue, and Gil Hans reworked all 18 holes prior to last year's championship, and the change in scoring was dramatic. Seven-time tournament winner Tiger Woods won the championship in 2013 with a total of 269, which was 19 under par, but last year Patrick Reed, who was making his debut in the event, won with a total of 284, 4 under par. Because Hans reworked the venue, does that mean we can only look at 1 year in terms of course form when relating it and correlating it to the betting for this year's championship?
No, but I think it helps, to be honest. I would give it greater sway, last year's form.
Definitely, yeah.
I think I've got two picks in this, and both did well last year, and that clearly was part of my thinking that, you know, how new is this course?
I think Justin Rose said it was like a completely different course.
Yeah, he did.
And he'd know a bit about it, you would think, because he's always played quite well at Doral.
Quite good, isn't he?
Yeah. So aesthetically, to us watching, it probably doesn't look that different, because it's got lots of water and all of that, the familiar kind of holes at Doral, but yeah, clearly something changed, didn't it? So it's going to be interesting on the second year round to see whether the old form starts to reappear there, the guys who used to play well, or whether it is just different.
But it was Reed's debut last year, which kind of showed that
it does a bit, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
That he came with with a clear mind and a blank slate.
And some of the other players who were at the top of the leaderboard wouldn't have had much experience there either, so Sterney being one of them, I guess. I think, you know, so there's, didn't Donaldson get a high finish there last year?
He did, runner-up.
So you have to guess that it's different, but second time round, let's see. Yeah, I suspect that my gut feeling is that last year's form is the most relevant. I think that's probably self-evident to a degree, but it'd just be interesting to see whether some of those players who have historically played well at Doral do better this time round, now they've got their head round the changes, you know.
They do say the green's bedding after a year, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So it will be interesting to see. The wind was a significant factor last year as well. It's not forecast to be as strong this year, and perhaps with a year under their belts, the players will get a better handle on the event and could go a little bit lower.
Yeah, they could go lower. And some guys have traditionally might you know, be it's, well, I've only got two bets before the tournament, but I'm definitely gonna have a look in running, because those factors like who's playing well there and what really what type of player is suited by the event could be different than what we think today. It was very windy last year on a course that had changed. They were all a bit maybe circumvented by that. This year could change a little bit. We'll see.
The overall yardage at Trump National de Ral is now 7,528 yards, and four of the top five in last year's championship ranked inside the top 10 for driving distance. It's been a staple of the PGA Tour diet, though, hasn't it? Since the early 60s, Mike, the championship at de Ral.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's I think in years gone by, it was almost like the start of the season, de Ral, wasn't it? When the real big guns tended to come out. So it's a great course now owned by Donald Trump, iconic kind of status in America. So looking forward to a good event.
Two picks for me.
Two picks for me.
And Dave?
Yeah, two.
Okay, so six picks. Mike, you lead us off.
You're not going to go first after your Daniel Berger tip.
No, I'll
as the king of the US Tour for this week.
I'll keep my...
keep your powder dry?
I'll keep my powder dry here.
All right. Given all I've just said, I think it is a little bit of a puzzle this week. So I am going to rely on an old stager, an old friend. Matt Kuchar is my number one pick in this event. Slightly concerned that he's not the longest of the players on tour. Was 13th here last year after a decent first round. Didn't really kick on from that, but just shy of the top 10. In very good form. I like his price at 33-1. That appeals to me. I think for someone who's always played pretty well here, he's been in decent form with a third and a second in two of his last three outings in the Sony and the Humana. Top 10s three of the last five times at de Ral, 13th, as I said, last year. 33-1 for a quality player. He's from this part of the world, just born in Florida, lives in Georgia, just north of Florida. So I expect Matt Kuchar to start really getting his head down now for the year in this event and to give a good account of himself.
Mm. Matt Kuchar, 33-1, Mike's headline selection here. Dave?
Yeah, I'm going to kick off with a 40-1, Jamie Donaldson. Mentioned him briefly there before. He was runner-up last year. Mm. Just a quote I read from him last year. He said he had played the year before and come like way down the field.
Yeah.
He just said the newer layout suited his eye more, just like position of the bunkers and stuff.
Mm.
And that was a real sort of marker, I think, for him, because he hadn't done anything on the PGA Tour before then. Obviously, then he kicked on, plays in the Ryder Cup, hits the winning shot. Then you think, is he going to rest on his laurels? Is that his, you know, is that his career high point? Is it all downhill from there? But I don't think it is. I think I read another quote where he just says, I'm a late developer in everything. I don't want to delve too deep into that. First girlfriend at 31 or something. But clearly, he's 38. He's clearly, these are the golden years, aren't they? He's really kicking on and showed it again last week when tied six. I mean, you look at some of the players who missed the cut last week, couldn't quite hack it in that weather. You know, McIlroy's also, McIlroy, Rose, Bradley, McDowell. A lot of big names just didn't, and he did.
Yeah.
And yet, here he is, having done that, having finished runner-up last year, still 40-1. I still think there's an element of old Jamie Donaldson in that price, to be honest. I just think he's going to win a biggie soon, and I just think that's a really good price for the Welshman, because you know how much confidence must he have after all those little bits that he's just kept building and building up. And as I say, last week just a real confirmation that he is the real deal again. I mean, I think he was top 20 in the Farmers as well, so
yep.
I think he's really, really playing well.
Okay, 40-1, Jamie Donaldson. I'm actually going to lead off with Hunter Mahan here at 66-1. I love that price. Reading through transcripts from last year's championship, a lot of talk about the necessity to drive the ball well around this golf course, and something that's not really been mentioned in the lead-up to this championship. I think good drivers of the golf ball will prosper this week, and it's something Dustin Johnson mentioned last year as well in one of his post-round interviews. He won the Barclays at the back end of last season, Mahan, and he's been in solid, if not spectacular form, and that's what's keeping him under the radar, I think, so far this season. Started the season with a tied third at the Fry's, and most recent results have yielded a tie for 30th in the Phoenix and a tie for 20th in the Northern Trust Open at Riviera. He's got solid stats this season, 18th in total driving. And the one thing that catches my eye is his putting. He's putting particularly well this season so far. He's talked about how much he enjoyed playing on the redesign last year. I think he's set for a good week, and I love the price, in fact. 66-1 Hunter Mahan is my headline selection.
It's
here.
A funny when you look at that on the just looking at the William Hill grid there, to have him the same price as Joost Louten seems very odd, doesn't it, in a PGA Tour event?
Yes,
where
it does, yeah.
Well, he's the sort of home guy who's done it all there before. And
good finish from Louten last week.
Yeah, he's a good player, but I'm just surprised.
He's yet to do it over here. Yeah. I had Louten on my mind this week, actually, to be fair, but I think you've highlighted the fact that 66-1 is a bit short for someone who, albeit did, I think Louten had a reasonable finish here.
He did play well here last year.
Last year, didn't he? Let me check. He was 13th here last year, along with this year's winner, Matt Kuchar, finished in the same position. But you're right, Mahan is a player who's contended in majors.
That's it. US Open form from last season as well. If this venue does play tough like it did last year, he's got the pedigree, Hunter Mahan.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about what you were saying about the driving accuracy part of last year, because the top two players were 52nd and 63 on fairways hit for the week out of a field of about 69. I'm not so sure. There are players not far behind them last year who hit it pretty well off the tee, but is it that critical?
It's not borne out in last year's statistics, but a lot of the transcripts from the players that played in the event last year talked about how important, imperative it is to find the right part of these fairways to have the ability to attack the pins at the new angles they're looking at from last season.
They always say that, though. Every time I ever read, they say, oh, you've got to hit the fairways. And then you look at the stats afterwards, and someone who's missed absolutely shed loads wins.
I think a lot of those players that missed a lot of fairways were a long way down there, weren't they?
Well,
high in distance.
So
maybe it's a combination. Maybe if you're missing the fairways, you've got to be a long way down. Driving distance is probably important.
Jumped out at me, driving distance from last year was the most important stat. Now, Matt Kuchar is not the longest player on tour, to be fair, but of the key stats, that would be the one that looked more important to me. But I do take your point that
Hunter Mahan's long and straight.
He is. So he's a great driver of the ball, isn't he? Yeah, he is. Is it me again?
It is.
I'm going to go for a little bit of a price player here, a guy who's in very good form, but hasn't played very well in America at all, really. But I'm hoping he does a Jamie Donaldson and uses Doral as his entry point into playing well in the US. Brandon Grace is my pick. He's won three of his last six events. Yeah. Now, they're all egg and spoon races out there, let's be honest. He's won. There's no majors in that list. But he is the kind of player, as we know from past years, when he gets a bit of a head of steam, he's a very good player. His wins come in batches. And he hits it a good long way. He's long off the tee. He'll be in immense confidence. So has played here the last 3 years as well. So some idea of the course. Was 40th last year when in nowhere near the same form as this. So it's a little bit of a 66-1 for a player that I think could be someone who could get involved in the major contention this year for the first time. He has got a top 20 at Augusta to his name, actually, Grace. But not a lot else in America. He does definitely needs to step up the pace. But I just think three wins in six, there's going to be no one more confident than him going to the first tee. Well, that's probably not true. Rory McIlroy might be more confident than me.
After his miscut last week.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. Grace is my somewhat speculative pick. I'm willing to admit that, but just hoping that he can really make the breakthrough in America.
66-1, Brandon Grace is Mike's second pick. Dave, your second selection?
Yeah, I think this will surprise you. Jason Duffner.
That does surprise me. Yeah, I looked him myself. Yeah, well, you know, I picked him a couple of weeks ago.
You did? You mentioned him, and I sort of said, he's lost 20 pounds and he's cut his hair off now. I'm not too worried about the hair.
No.
But the 20 pounds, he was an American who enjoyed the fast food chains, basically. But, you know, and sometimes
racial stereotype in that, Dave, isn't it?
He says he's always in Five Guys, Dave. That's what he said to me off air. He's always in Five Guys Burger Joint.
Is that right?
Never leaves it.
But, not anymore, he isn't.
Well, now he's literally got this list, as well. He's got like green items and not literally peas and stuff, but sort of go items. And he's absolutely, you know, doing it by the book.
Yeah.
So he's lost all this weight. Because I think his injuries were the fact that he was eating stuff and his weight was kind of causing inflammation and stuff, so it was affecting his game.
Really? Yeah.
And they were related, his bad diet and his injuries. So he said it was simply a case of if I wanted to keep playing golf, I had to do something about it.
Yeah, because he had a bad back at one point, didn't he? Yeah, that would add up, all, wouldn't it? Yeah. He was one of the last off my list, Dave. He really was, because he plays well here.
So I was probably like you. I was looking for a bit of kind of evidence that it is kicking in, and I think we got it last week. He was 17th at the Honda.
Yep.
Rounds of 71, 69, and a pair of 70s on the weekend. And that was good going in you know, pretty brutal conditions at times.
Yeah.
Again, I read some quotes where he said maybe that was down to being back on Bermuda grass. He said he's had loads of his success in the south, even back on the web.com tour days.
Mm.
And looking at this event, he's done well. Reading, starting from 2010 going forwards, 18th, 29th, 12th, 9th. Well, the 9th was last year on the redesign, so clearly that sort of went down pretty well with him.
Mm.
And he shot, well, he's a bit sort of up and down. He went 69, 77, 68, 76. So if he could just control those sort of leaky rounds, then he could be in there. But I think we might see. I mean, he's won a major. He was brilliant, wasn't he, for a while?
Good player.
And
could
it's
be
just,
on the, could be on the bounce back, couldn't he, easily?
Yeah. And you never know, you know, when people like that see sort of Harrington win, it kind of just a little jolt, isn't it? Like,
to be fair, you kind of have
a dip and then come on again.
He hasn't been off the win. You know, he's been in last year. He didn't play that badly, did he?
No.
He just wasn't quite as good as his peak the year before.
There's
wasn't
a couple
it?
Of yeah. well, there's a year where he seemed to be the halfway leader every week, didn't he?
It's only 18 months since he won his major, isn't it? If you think about it, PGA, but that's right, isn't it? The year before last, so
the only concern would be sometimes you've seen players. They lose all the weight and they lose the timing a bit, but he said it's had no detrimental effect in that.
I fancied Shane Lowry this week, but I got the scales out and he's too heavy. To
carrying too much weight.
Top weight. I'm being slightly facetious there, but he could go well. He could be another man. I think
quite a few of the Europeans could
go well last week, didn't they?
The thing is, that the course experience, if that doesn't matter so much, then obviously these guys aren't as disadvantaged. And Lowry's been playing well. Harrington's won, which, you know, he's psychologically helped. Yeah, you know, so. And he's a cracking player as well, so. I like Shane Lowry a lot, but so Duffner was one of the last off my list.
Yeah, so 66-1 Duffner. I think that's a fair price for someone that talented in conditions that he likes, on a course he likes.
We've put up a lot of big prices so far. I've gone to the head of the market for my final
the
selection.
Very head of the
Not
market.
The very head no. of the market. Jordan Spieth is my second pick at 16-1. I expect him to end the season second in the world behind McIlroy, in all honesty. And his form's absolutely outstanding. Seventh place finishes at Phoenix and Pebble Beach before that tie for fourth at the Northern Trust Open, where if he'd known that minus six was the number, he might have got in the playoff there. First visit to Doral last season, and he talked about how much the greens suited his game, given they were so similar to what he puts on in Texas. And his rankings in the all-around recently, ranked second in the all-around at Pebble Beach, first at the Northern Trust Open in his last two starts, driving the ball brilliantly. Has got form in Florida as well, with fourth at the Players last year, where he had a big chance to win, seventh in Tampa as well. And he keeps mentioning that he's not playing to his full potential yet. I mean, when he starts playing his best golf, the other players better watch out, because he's going to win event after event. And given how brilliant he was in Australia and the Hero World Challenge, I think he should be clear second favourite behind Rory McIlroy this week. So
Bubba plays well though here, Dave.
He does, but I think Spieth's a better player. I think it's that simple.
That's arguable on certain clubs.
Yeah.
Bubba is an outstanding player, isn't he? I kind of am with you, but Bubba's sometimes underrated because of the way he plays, isn't he? And at courses that suit him, he's a factor.
I think he's more consistent than people think.
Yeah,
people like to think he's win or miss cup, but he's not.
He's not, is he?
No,
I think Bubba's a tremendous player. I just think Spieth is a better player. He was 20s earlier in the week, and that would have been a lot more attractive. He has been clipped into 16s now, but I'm going with him at 16-1.
Do you think he, in this modern day, do you think Spieth really hits it far enough to be sort of dominant?
I don't think he's going to be dominant like McIlroy's dominant, but I think he's added distance. He's added distance, I think, from last year to this year. I think he's driving the ball a lot longer than he was last year. I'd have to have a double check on the stats, but I'm convinced that he's got the game to not be dominant, but not the way McIlroy is going to be dominant. But I think Spieth is the next best. in my opinion.
Yeah, no, he's got massive potential. Yeah. I'm not saying he hasn't, but Bubba's a dual major winner, isn't he, as well? So they're, yeah, they're both great players. I didn't pick anyone who was a really massive hitter, but I must say that Gary Woodland and JB Holmes in particular, was the last man off my list before Duffner, actually, JB, who I like. Never really shown a great lot in this tournament, but hasn't played, in fact, for a few years. But he's in very good form and hits it a mile. It'll just be interesting to see if the big hitters do dominate this year.
A couple I just want to mention, just before we recap. A Brooks Koepka, who's really talented. He can hit it a bit. He's been well found in the market, in my opinion, at 33s. Justin Rose's game's probably not quite there, but won this in 2012. He's twice the price of last week on the back of the miscut, and myself and you, Dave, talked about his form in Florida last week. So that was interesting at 33s. And won at a massive price. I think Jeff Ogilvy.
Yeah, I just saw that on your piece of paper. 150s. Yeah.
He's a past winner here.
I've actually had a little bet on him.
Yeah.
No, already, yeah. But the more I looked at his form at the course over the last few outings, the less I'd already had the bet. So, but I have had a little bet on him. But yeah, he's
winner of the Barracuda last year, played really well at the Deutsche Bank subsequently. Form has not materialised yet this season. He's the sort of player that can pop up from nowhere. Big confidence player, isn't he?
Absolutely, Dave. No, so, I'm with you there.
Yeah, I thought he was a big price. Of the bigger price ones, 150s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any others on your mind, Dave?
Just a couple of points. I couldn't really see why Mark Warren was 150s and Bernd Wiesberger 80s. I sort of bracket them slightly together. They're on the golf swing, they were just, both of them were up there every week.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, a lot of good things said about Mark Warren, that he's going to, you know, be a real sort of player. I know he's a bit slow to come to the ball, but every so often he pops up in a quality event.
Yep.
I didn't see why he was virtually twice the price. Mm. Maybe he was sort of scratching around for
Wiesberger, a little bit more form in America, maybe.
Yeah, that might be it.
He's flattered to deceive a couple of times. Yeah.
At the front of the market, now we said last week Dustin Johnson had no chance last week on that course. It was terrible.
Yeah.
He's a bigger price on a course where he does have a chance.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That 20s, I mean, are we all on money?
We are all on him for the money list, Dave. We followed you in.
So we do want him to go well, don't
go
we?
Go on, Dustin.
We do. Oh,
it's something like 1.57 million or something this week for the winner.
It's a big pot, isn't it? These are the events, aren't they? These and the majors.
Yeah, it's a funny one. Same for the European. So someone does well there, I mean,
makes a big difference.
What do you win in for the South Africa one? I think you win like balloons and a pen. So it's just like a different gravy, isn't it?
Yeah. What about Rory McIlroy?
Yeah, no one mentioned him.
You can't let him.
He'll play well this week, won't he? Undoubtedly, I think.
Yeah, 11-2 could be tempting for those who like an each way interest.
I've still got a few reservations about if the wind really gets up.
Hmm.
I know he's won an Open Championship now. I'm not entirely I'm not entirely convinced if it's 25 miles an hour, whether it suits him.
I am entirely convinced that it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah,
with his high ball flight, whenever it's windy, he never plays that well for me. Yeah. I've never seen evidence of him doing otherwise. So he's got every chance in any Open where it's not windy, hasn't he? But when it's windy, I wouldn't fancy him. That's my view.
That's fair, very fair. Luke Donald at 50s. He came back to form with a bang last week, tied seventh again. He was going on about Bermuda grass. That could be the change.
Yeah.
Again, because you wonder, it's not like a different set of actors, but it's kind of, you suddenly get to the Florida swing and maybe the same names start coming up that have been, you know, quiet on the West Coast. So, and he's definitely, I mean, his Florida form is magnificent, Luke Donald's.
There's a difference. There is definitely. Yeah. Some players are suited by both, but some definitely favour one coast over the other, don't they? Yeah. It's a fact.
It's a big move for him back with Pat Goss now as well, from Chuck Cook. That didn't really work out. I think that's definitely a positive for Donald, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think he was saying it was just taking a while to bed in, but last week I think there were signs that it did bed in, and plus the Bermuda greens, you add that up. I mean, he's got a couple of sixth places on this course before.
Yeah.
50s to 1. I'm not quite...
Just
sure,
his length,
to
Dave.
Yeah.
His length of the tee, I suppose.
I could see him plodding away and getting...
I shouldn't
say that about Luke Donald. That annoys him, doesn't it? But you could see him plotting and crafting his way to a top five, couldn't you, at 50s.
I like him. I hope he gets yeah, hope he plays well.
And for the American listeners, we have got a Puerto Rico Open as well, the satellite event on the PGA Tour. Just spin you through the prices quickly here. Brendan DeYoung is 16-1. Boo Weekly is 20s. Jeff Overton, 20s. Peter Uline, 22s. Chris Round, 25s. Emiliano Grillo is 25-1. John Peterson, 25s. 28s bar. Not an event I've had an interest in, not an event I've really looked
Serial
at.
Serial winner Brendan DeYoung.
Yeah, he's gone 200 odd events without a win, hasn't he? And he's at the head of the betting at 16-1. Dave, any thoughts?
I just had a look at a couple who were, I don't know if the course suits them. Kiros, we were saying, weren't we, in Europe?
Yep.
50-1. He has gone over to America before and done okay. Mm. He led the Masters 1 year. He was sixth in the USPGA 1 year. 50s. I mean, you look at his, it's a bit of a sort of journeyman field around him.
Yeah.
Could be a decent price. The other one at a sort of massive price, because he won the Asian Tour school, Daniel Chopra, 150s, won before on the US Tour.
Yeah.
You never know. I've
tipped him a few times myself, as Dave knows. Yeah, yeah.
Played well in the Indian Open.
There's nothing wrong with these events that are lower status. I just couldn't see a bet in it. There's nothing wrong with it. 125 to winner of this would do, wouldn't it,
yeah,
Dave?
Yeah, it would.
So I don't want to diminish it, but it isn't it's obviously the secondary event this week in the US, well, in Puerto Rico. So be interesting to see how some of those European raiders like Cabrera, Bello and Grillo, and a European Tour player, should I say, how they play over.
Ideally, I wanted to back Grillo, but 25, it short, sort of cut me off at the pass, kind of thing.
Very short for a non-winner who's playing out. He is from Argentina, obviously, so it's not as alien as
I wonder that. I wonder how much that will help, that it'll feel less strange than we think, because we think he's one of our own.
It is noticeable that this event does feature like Queiroz and Cabrera Bello and Spanish players. There's definitely
made an effort to get them in the field, haven't they?
Definitely, yeah. So, yeah, this is just well worth keeping an eye on, that event. I'll be watching it as well, in terms of there's quite a lot of, a fair number of senior players playing on that.
There is.
With an eye to the Champions Tour, I'll be watching how some of them fit.
It's almost like a co-sanctioned event, isn't it, the amount of Champions Tour players in
there. There's all kinds of players in there that I was a bit surprised to see. Even Carlos Franco is in there, I think, so you'd remember him.
Yeah,
he's in there at some godforsaken price. 500-1.
There you go. Let's wrap then.
And David Duval.
Yeah, he's in there as well, isn't he?
He's not a senior tour yet. How old would he be, Dave? Let's not do another year. I guess the year.
It's full of open ones, isn't it? Look, Todd Hamilton, Mark Calcavecchia, Duval.
Chris DeMarco's gone well at a few major championships in his time as well, hasn't he? 300-1. Who's the player you don't want to win this week then, Mike? Who was closest for
Carlos
you?
Carlos Franco. the player who was closest for me was probably JB Holmes.
JB Holmes. I'd have to say Jeff Ogilvy, I think, probably closest to 150s.
Well, I've had a little bet on him, so I do want him to win.
Mr. Tindall?
Mine's a bit stupid because I do want him to win, but in terms of for this week, I don't. Dustin Johnson, if he wins at 20s, I'll go.
Yeah, I should have had that, given this is the only event that he plays well in Florida.
Yeah, it is. Anyone else in Florida is average, isn't he?
Yeah, not good.
He likes it. By the way, on the sandwich bet last week, both of our players missed the cut. What happens?
Oh, I win that sandwich bet. I win that sandwich bet. My guy finished plus five.
It's done on that, isn't
it? Yeah, it is done on that. Right, okay. Nice try, though, Dave. Nice try.
Never know.
Did he lure you into one of those? Yeah.
Well, I don't mind going again if you want. If you want a double or quits, I'll take May.
He's done me on the his man scored better trick. How dare you?
I'll take Mahan over Duffner. Do you fancy that?
Not particularly, no.
He's a tricky...
He's a tinker.
He is. Tinker. He picks players that are volatile on your side and he goes for a solid eddy.
Let's recap the picks then for this week.
Debit.
Starting with the Africa Open. Just the one pick for me.
Nothing
I'm going
to
a point each way Oliver Fisher at 40-1, Dave.
Yeah, half a point each way Jaco Ahlers.
At 80-1. And in America, in the WGC event, I'll go a point each way Hunter Mahan at 66 and a point each way Jordan Spieth at 16-1, Mike.
I'll have a point each way on Matt Kuchar at 33s and Brandon Grace at 66.
And Dave?
I'll have a point each way on Jamie Donaldson at 40s and a point each way on Jason Duffner at 66s, but I won't have a tuna mayo each way at all.
Thank you, chaps. Really enjoyed that. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening as well. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter. It's at D Kellner, at M Grenham, and at Dave Tindall Golf. You can download this podcast via audio boom.com. Just type in William Hill. And of course, you can get us via iTunes as well. And myself, Mike, and Dave will be back very, very shortly. Get your bets on for the Africa Open, the WGC Cadillac Championship, and the Puerto Rico Open this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.